Up next on the season finale of Inside the Cleveland Browns, learn all about the Browns' new head coach, Hugh Jackson. Take a look at the top five plays on offense and defense, plus get the rookies' take on year one in the pros. You'll see an exclusive look inside the film room with big play gear Gary Barnage and never-before-seen footage of Danny Shelton mic'd up. All that and much more up next on Inside the Cleveland Browns.
Good morning, Dog Pound. Welcome to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Well, it's official, Sarah. The Browns have named Hugh Jackson the head coach. He'll take over in 2016. Let's take a look at the coach's first moments here in Cleveland.
How we doing?
Yeah, we made it. I just wanted you to know we made it okay.
Exciting time, and I'm so excited to be here and to work with all of you and to get to know all of you. And we got a lot of work to do. I think we all understand that, but we're going to chase greatness here, that's for sure. That's what we're interested in doing. The AFC North, and we want to win the division championship, and we want to go to Super Bowl and win that game. Yeah. That's what this is truly all about.
For the Dog Pound, for our players, I am really pleased to introduce Hugh Jackson as the next head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
Like I said, I've been in two of these organizations in the AFC North. I've been in Cincinnati, and I've been in Baltimore. And I can tell you firsthand, there's nothing like the feeling of walking through these doors. Nothing. I know there's a rabid fan base that is excited. Dog Pound, let me give you a fist pump because I'm excited. I want to jump over in that pound, and when I get an opportunity, when we play football the way I know we can play.
Well, Sarah, I don't know about you, but I'm super excited to see what Hugh Jackson brings to the table. We all obviously know that he comes from the AFC North. He's been a head coach before, and he certainly knows offense.
Yeah, I'm very excited. He has a lot on his plate to improve the offense, but there were definitely some high points. So let's take a look back at 2015 and count down the top offensive plays with Matt Wilhelm.
Hey, Dog Pound, Matt Wilhelm here with you to bring you the top plays of 2015. And this season on offense had some exciting and explosive plays. Let's get the countdown started with Josh McCown's touchdown pass to Marlon Moore.
Here's McCown on second and goal, back looking up the gut. He takes it back. Now he rolls back, and he's rolling near side left. He's got a man open. It's Marlon Moore. He's got it. Touchdown!
At number four, Duke Johnson's first touchdown as a rookie in San Diego.
McCown in the shotgun with pressure. Going long. He's got Duke Johnson in the end zone. He caught it. Touchdown as he got his toes in.
The Browns pounded the rock against the 49ers while Isaiah Crowell had a career day.
They're going to run it. Crowell zooms through. 50, 45, stiff arm. 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. And he's out of bounds. Inside the 5. Oh, the crow got loose.
Johnny Manziel and Travis Benjamin hooked up for a few touchdown passes this season, the best coming against the Tennessee Titans.
Here's Johnny, bootlegs out to the left, looking, down the field, going to throw one down for Benjamin. He's there, he's got it, and he's running in. Touchdown!
Finally, the best play of the season, Gary Barnage and his miraculous touchdown catch against the Baltimore Ravens.
Third down. Here comes the blitz. He's got to get rid of this. He's going to fire it towards the end zone. Barnage up in the air, and he battles for the ball, and he's got it in his lap. He's right on the goal line. Touchdown, Browns!
Let us know what plays you think should have made the list by tweeting us at Browns, And check out all the highlights and more at clevelandbrowns.com and the Browns mobile app.
Well, there weren't very many catches in football last season, Sarah, that were as impressive as that one by Gary. And don't miss it. Later in the show, Gary will be joining Matt Wilhelm to break that play down.
Now, Gary's a great example to the incoming draft class on how to be a Brown on and off the field. But let's hear from this year's rookies on what their first year in the pros was like.
My welcome to the NFL moment would probably be playing against the Cardinals. And against Larry Fitzgerald, he was a guy that I looked up to growing up because I wanted to be a receiver, but it's too big. Seeing somebody who I looked up to on the field, playing against them, and him making comments to me is pretty awesome.
Probably had to be the first game of the season. We played the New York Jets. I was a rookie and I started that game, first game of the season as a rookie, so kind of nervous, but. After the first play, I was ready.
My welcome to the NFL moment was when we first stepped out for training camp. And you see all the fans there, and to step out during training camp and to see fans out there every day committed to coming to watch us was amazing.
Preseason, the first game, I got thrown down by an offensive lineman from the Redskins. He was like 6'8", 320. And I was like, wow, there's some grown men out here. My second one was, stepping onto the field against the Oakland Raiders, my first game. So that was real crazy coming out in front of the dog pound. That was amazing.
The thing I learned most about myself is I had to learn to push through. It's been a long season, coming straight from college and not really having any break from my junior year to the combine to OTAs. And we rookies didn't have a break, but I just had to find a way through. And I did.
I need to continue to be resilient and continue to be the type of player that's going to change, the culture of this team. Continue to be the guy who faces adversity and comes out on top. And it's been the guy that I am ever since I can remember.
The biggest thing I need to work on is just, work on my technique as a defensive lineman. I'm able to do certain things, but other things I need to get better on because there is better players than there was in college. So just technique, small stuff that, you don't use in college, but you need to use in the pros now.
This is my first off season. I need to learn how to manage it and where my time needs to be as far as rest and how hard I should work out because I don't want to peak too early. Diet, there's just so much that I need to do that I'm excited. I got a great team back home that I'm looking forward to working with and kicking it off right.
We're really dedicated and we're ready for this off season to kick off and be ready to come out with a great season next season.
Sarah, it's an exciting rookie draft class, and I tell you this much from being a rookie. You can't wait to get back on the field the second year. All right, Dog Pound, don't go anywhere. We're coming right back at you.
Next on Inside the Cleveland Browns, we have an exclusive one-on-one interview with Hugh Jackson. We go in the film room with Gary Barnidge, and we hear what Danny Shelton said to Ben Roethlisberger in an all-new Mic'd Up.
In and out like the SWAT team.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Now, it's not often that a player has their breakout year 8 seasons in, but that's exactly what Gary Barnidge did. Take a look as Gary breaks down some film of his best catches of the year.
What's up, Dog Pound? Matt Wilhelm here with you today. I am joined by Gary Barnidge, Cleveland Browns Walter Payton Man of the Year. We're going to highlight some of the top touchdown passes that Gary had this year, so let's get to the plays. Here we are, play one against the Arizona Cardinals. It is 3rd and 3, and the ball is actually on the 3-yard line. Seems as if, and we'll get to the snap here in a second, you are the read. The ball is coming to you because Josh does not look any other way.
Well, it would depend on what the defense is in. If it's man coverage, which they're actually in man coverage, then the ball is going to go to me. If it's zone, then we're going to look to the other side because they have a combination over here. But if it's man coverage, depending on the leverage of the defender, is what route I'm going to run. So the key is that right here is get him to move. Get him off his ground and then get separation so that way I can get a chance to catch the ball.
And the one thing that I found kind of surprising is you don't run, you personally hadn't run a lot of slants, but yet you gave him the slant fake to get him to just jump inside so that you can win with your body position outside and knowing that Josh was going to have the ball thrown high and away where you can make that big play.
Well, that's the thing. They never know what we're going to do because they know you're always going to put something new out there. And Josh ended up putting a perfect throw on this and perfect play. Perfect
awesome. Touchdown. And the last play we're going to highlight today, and I think everybody knows it very well, the situation is Browns 16, Ravens 21, so we're down by five. And it is 3rd and 5 from the 18-yard line. You guys are now empty. As you guys notice, the Baltimore Ravens are very aggressive. They're going to bring some type of blitz. When do you know the ball's going to come your way?
As you see, I knew as soon as the guy blitzed, I was like, me or Duke's getting the ball, no matter what. I got to run out here, and I know Duke's coming underneath me. So depending on what this safety is, actually the safety does, is who's going to throw the ball to. And I think he just didn't really have time to set his feet to throw to Duke, so he just threw it up and said, make a play.
When did you know that the ball was settling on some part of your body?
I felt it on my ankle, and then so I squeezed my other leg on top of it because I could feel it, and I was like, I gotta get this to my hands because I saw a defender running over, and I think he saw the same thing, so I was trying to get to my hands so it'd be a catch. So I knew if I got it to my hands, there's no way I was dropping it. But I didn't know if it actually hit the ground first or what happened until, as you see, these our offensive linemen run. When Mitchell Schwartz runs over to me, the smile on his face and how excited he was that it was a catch, that's when I knew it was a catch. Because I had no idea if it hit the ground or where before it landed on my ankle.
And along with that came a contract extension. Just walk us through the contract extension. You've been very adamant about wanting to be a Cleveland Brown. Walk us through that process.
Yeah, it was something that was, we've actually been in talks throughout the year, and I'm very appreciative that the Browns gave me that opportunity, because if they would never gave me the opportunity to begin the year, it would have never have happened.
Well, Gary, thanks so much for spending some time with us. Congratulations on a great season.
Thank you very much.
You got it.
I'm sure I'm not the only one that is glad Gary signed his contract extension to ensure that he'll be a Brown for many years to come.
Yeah, we are all excited about that one. Well, during the season, Tuesday is Community Day for the Browns, where the team would spend time giving back to schools and visiting places like university hospitals and the Greater Cleveland Food Bank. Check out some of our favorite moments of the year.
Everybody's been very thankful for the stuff I do off the field, but I don't really do it for the recognition. I do it just because I enjoy giving back.
This Cleveland area does so much to support us on game day and every day. And so anytime I have a chance to give back, then I like to do that.
You kind of get to experience the fans from afar during the game, but really getting to interact with the kids and learn about them and learn about some of the things that they kind of pay attention to, some of the things that inspire them, some of the things that they're up to. It's really an invaluable experience, one that I learned from a lot.
As a professional athlete, you have this great power to be able to help make kids feel better. And what better way to do that is going to a hospital and spending some time with kids.
The things that people are going through outside of football is much more important than a sport itself. I mean, I think football gives us a platform to help those individuals.
JR, you're the man. You know that? You're braver than me. Keep it going, man.
You know, at the end of the day, that's what it's about. You know, we play football, we do the whole nine, but that's not what it's really about. This is what it's about, coming out and giving people hope.
So great to see that. To watch full community coverage and to learn more about the Browns Giving 10 in the community, visit clevelandbrowns.com/community.
Dog Pound Doak, anyway, we're coming right back.
When we return, Hugh Jackson talks about the players he is most excited to work with and watch the best of the Joe Thomas Hour.
I couldn't have asked for anything better than that.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Now, Sarah, I have to ask you, do you have a favorite moment, a favorite feature, something from the season?
Gosh, there's so many good ones, but I got to go with the collection of Joe Thomas Hours.
I mean, how could you not?
Yeah.
It's an excellent choice. Take a look at this compilation of some of our favorite moments from the Joe Thomas Hour this year.
We're lucky here to have on the Joe Thomas Hour, Doug Deacon, the best left tackle the Browns have ever had, and also everybody's favorite 73. So, Doug, thanks for being on the show today.
It's only 2 minutes. I got to take a nap.
I believe that's true, even though I laughed. Do you have a good ghost impression? I couldn't have asked for anything better than that. All right, what about a witch cackle? That's outstanding. What was the first thing that you were ever grounded for?
Oh, man. Eating too much.
Eating too much?
Yeah, my mom, she got disappointed in me because I was being selfish with the food, and I was hogging it to myself, and my siblings got mad and told on me.
What's the one go-to dance? If you're trying to impress a girl, you've got her, you're talking to her like at the school dance, you're drinking a few punches, and you're going to show her some moves. What would you go to?
Oh, man, I probably have to just hit the Dougie real fast.
The Dougie. All right, let's see what the Dougie looks like. What's your version of Teach me how to Dougie. Teach me how to Dougie. There we go. Okay, not too bad, not too bad. Yeah. Just a little of that,
just
a little of that. It's a faster song than that, isn't it?
I know, but you got to start off slow. You can't. Okay. You got to start off slow.
Okay. So after you do this one, a little bit, what's the next move?
Then I might,
ooh.
Point. Just a little bit.
Who are you pointing to?
The ladies in the crowd.
The ladies in the crowd. I love it. Awesome.
Hey, with Tootsie Roll.
The Tootsie Roll. Yeah, okay, nice.
One leg. And roll it up.
Yeah. Is it like the stanky leg? How am I doing? Doing okay?
Stanky leg good.
Stanky leg
is
good. That's my go-to at a wedding is the stanky leg. Yeah.
That's a winner, too.
Would you rather have 4 nipples or 11 fingers?
11 fingers to grip the ball better.
Which hand would have the extra finger?
The right, so I can throw. I mean, I got to help. I got to think it would help me throw.
Would it hurt the spiral at all having an extra finger dangling in there?
No, I would like to find out, to be honest with you.
You know, if I had to choose, I would choose 11 fingers, and my 6th finger I would hold my coffee mug on. And then I would put it on the backside of my hand so I could do anything I needed, but I'd always have my coffee at the ready.
Exactly. That comes in for a lot of reasons.
Yeah. Whoa!
A hairbrush.
Wow, this is very thoughtful. The elves just are so thoughtful.
Yeah, I have long, nice hair.
I was going to say, when's the last time you've gotten a gift like that? I mean,
not since I started going bald in third grade.
It's been a long time,
yeah, it's
right?
It's been a really long time.
What is Wisconsin's oldest city?
That's a good one. I think it's Green Bay.
You're right.
Yeah! No, sign off.
Hey.
Thanks for being on the Joe Thomas Hour.
Thanks for being on the Joe Thomas Hour with Joe Thomas.
The best 2 minutes of your life.
Well, I don't know how much pull we have, Sarah, but I really hope that Deke gets his own segment next year. Keep it right here, Dog Pound. We're coming right back.
When Inside the Cleveland Browns returns, find out Coach Jackson's thoughts on winning the North in our exclusive interview.
We understand it takes a lot of hard work to get there.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Now, when we found out that second-year offensive lineman Joel Bitonio loved exploring Cleveland's amazing food scene, we asked if we could follow along. One of his favorite visits this season was Mitchell's Ice Cream.
What's up, Dog Pound? Joel Bitonio here in Ohio City at Mitchell's Ice Cream. They're going to show me how to make some flavors. Let's go check it out.
Hello, Joel.
Hey.
Welcome to Mitchell's.
I'm excited to be here, man.
Our kitchen and shop on West 25th Street. We're excited to have you.
I know my hands are getting messy in this one.
We're really thrilled to have you here. My brother Mike is waiting for you in the kitchen right now.
Awesome.
So if you're ready, I'll take you back.
Let's get started.
Well, you are now in the Mitchell's kitchen. This is where we make all of our ice cream, do all of our baking, prepare all of our fresh fruits and sauces. Everything happens right here in this room. And actually, we're in the middle of an old theater. This is 95 years old and was built as a live theater with the stage at that end. Now the theater is ice cream making.
This old theater here is a pretty cool place to work. I think I would enjoy working here. Yeah. What would you say right now is your most popular flavor?
Well, vanilla bean is by far our most popular flavor.
Do you guys have like a suggestion box, for for different flavors and stuff like that?
We do. We have a suggestion box. So we look at every suggestion. We take every suggestion seriously. Like I said, I'm not really keen on putting meat in the ice cream, but yeah, that comes in there once in a while.
That's a little scary. I wouldn't be sure of that either.
So, Joel, what are we going to do today?
I'm a huge fan of the butter pecan and cookies and cream. Those are like my two favorite. So I'm wondering if we can do some sort of mashup with those two in there somehow.
I love it. And why don't you mix in some milk and cream and sugar with the rest of those
ingredients.
We're
pouring it all in?
Please do, yeah. All ice cream starts as a liquid, and you freeze it into a frozen, semi-frozen state, like a thick milkshake.
Right.
So go ahead and pour it in to our freezing machine over here. We call this a batch freezer. It freezes one batch of ice cream at a time.
So this is like the thing I have camping, the little gyro ball I went camping, and I had to shake for 30 minutes to get my ice cream. It does this in like 3 minutes.
That'll wear you out.
Yeah, right.
It makes you work for ice cream. This one, we have electric motors and an electric compressor here that do all the major lifting for us.
Awesome.
So Joel, while this is freezing, we're gonna break up some Oreo cookies. So I break them up like this in my hand.
That's it.
All different size pieces.
Yeah.
Done.
So you take two?
I take two. You could probably take more than two yourself because
we're gonna try two. I don't wanna ruin anything that's going good here. This is my dream job, breaking up Oreo cookies right here. If I was doing this at home right now, I probably would have consumed about 10 of these already.
Well, at Mitchell's, you're allowed to eat as much ice cream as you want while you're working.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And you do not get sick of ice cream. Joel, this is telling us, that beeping is telling us that it's time to take this out.
All right.
Hey, as this is coming out, you're going to want to pour in some of these cookies that you crushed and some of these pecans.
Okay.
You want to make sure you get plenty of pecans. Every bite of your ice cream, you want to have some of the goodies.
Yeah.
We'll do a little mixing. Joel, it looks beautiful, but how does it taste?
That's really good. I'm excited what we have here. Give it a try yourself.
Okay.
You get the butter pecan, but then you get the Oreos mixed in.
I love it. I would never put Oreo cookies in my butter pecan. I think you just invented a new ice cream flavor.
Oh, man.
This is going to be...
Let's hope so.
This is going to be your second career.
Ice cream.
After the Browns, it'll be...
I'm going to call Mitchell's when I'm done.
Come on. That's right. Awesome. We'd love to have you.
Thanks for coming in, Joel.
Hey, thanks for having
me. This is a lot of fun.
Awesome experience here, guys.
Good luck in San Diego.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Here's your ice cream.
Oh, gift right here, man. It was an awesome experience here at Mitchell's. I mean, I've never had better ice cream. This place is awesome. Anytime I have a meal down here or I'm at home, I make a meal, I always come out for ice cream, I go to Mitchell's. It's an awesome place.
You've got a lot of ice cream that you're going to have to work on there.
I'm excited. Hopefully the coaches don't see this.
Joel's a nice guy. I'm sure he shared that tub with his teammates.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
Yeah. Keep it right here, Dog Pound. We'll be right back.
When we come back, Matt Wilhelm counts down the top five defensive plays of the year. We get a look at Danny Shelton like never before, and still to come, our exclusive one-on-one with head coach Hugh Jackson.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Now, what would any end-of-season show be without a countdown? So here is Matt Wilhelm to check out the top five defensive plays of the season.
Hey, it's Matt Wilhelm to bring you the top plays of 2015. And the defense, it showed signs of greatness. And the first play we're going to see here is against the AFC North rival, Cincinnati Bengals.
Third down and 9 from the Browns 20. Dalton the pass. Up in the pocket. He got sacked. They got him. Paul Kruger got in there and got him at the 26.
Nice job by Paul Kruger.
Nate Orchard improved as the season went along, as shown in his interception of Alex Smith in Week 16.
Looking and throws, it's deflected and picked off, and it's Nate Orchard who ends up with the ball. 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, gets away from one man, and then they got him from behind. Down the field they came at the Kansas City 41-yard line.
Nothing is better than good team defense, as shown in this sack fumble from the game against the Tennessee Titans.
He bootlegs it out to the left, looks, pulls it back, slips, he's going down. Jed Hughes hit him, he fumbled, Mingo reaches for the ball, and Kirksey came up with it. And it's Browns ball.
Carlos Dansby added a few interceptions to his career totals while also adding points to the scoreboard. Here is his pick six against the Baltimore Ravens.
Drops the pass, looks, fires, that's picked off. They got it down the sideline, 40. It's Dansby to the 20, 50, 10, 5, touchdown. Carlos Dansby, 51 yards.
The defense's favorite play of the season? It was Carlos Dansby's interception against Peyton Manning, which he returned for a touchdown.
Second down at 11. Back to pass. In the pocket. Looks. He got hit. He throws underneath. And it is picked off. They pick it off. Down the sideline. Running with the ball. 10-5. Touchdown. It's Dansby. into First Energy Stadium.
Let us know what plays you think should have made the list by tweeting us at Browns. And check out all the highlights and more at ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app.
Sarah, I was in the building, and you wouldn't believe how crazy the dog pound went for Carlos's pick six.
Oh, I know. And one member of the defense that I'm really looking forward to seeing grow next season is rookie nose tackle Danny Shelton. Now, he was mic'd up for the last game, and you can see why he's a locker room favorite.
Yes. Yes. Hurry, hurry. Get it. Yo, what's up, man? What's up, man? Go Browns. Yo, what's up?
Woo-hoo! Finish playing hard, John.
You already know, Josh.
It's on tape.
Always on tape.
On second and nine from the 34, takes the snap. Back to pass. Looks, fires wide open. Antonio Brown at the 46. He fumbled the ball. And it's picked up by Robertson of the Browns.
Okay, Chris. Don't try to tell. I'm the biggest fan.
That's my center, though. I can't let you hurt my center.
In and out like the SWAT team.
Freeze. Go, Danny, go.
You're a Steelers fan, Brian?
No,
come on, man.
No, I'm not.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
He's back, looking left, throws, and that's going to be picked off. Jordan Poyer's got it.
Oh! 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 Let's go! Here, y'all. Hey, is that bro? Hey, now you got sleeves on? You changed, bro. Hey, you see him jump? He jumped on top of me. Yeah, I like that number, though. Umpire 71. Oh, I ripped my hairband. Let us know!
Back to pass. He's there. He looks. Fires. Middle picked off!
Danny's a guy with a lot to prove. I know all of us are looking forward to seeing more of him next year.
Now, don't go anywhere, Dog Pound. We'll be right back.
Coming up next, find out why Coach Jackson chose to come to the Cleveland Browns.
Everything that we talked about fit me to a T.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Now, if putting together a best of show is similar to forming a Browns all-time roster, Brian Sipe will always be on both lists.
Yeah, that's right. And we caught up with Brian in his hometown of San Diego earlier this year to talk about the 30th anniversary of course, the Cardiac Kids and his legacy right here in Cleveland.
Who was the NFL MVP in 2004?
Peyton Manning.
Good job.
Yes.
Nice.
Who was the NFL MVP in 1980?
Grandpa.
Grandpa.
Yeah.
That's
good. Good job.
Who else was alive in 1980?
The most honored player in the league in 1980, Sipe cashed in his nickel and dime reputation and silenced the critics forever.
The arm doesn't make the quarterback. My arm is certainly sufficient enough to get the ball where it has to go. What's important to me are the people that are around me. I've got a good supporting cast.
Go! 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 He's out! He's gone, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm living here in Del Mar, California with my wife, Jerry. Jerry and I have been blessed with six grandkids.
I'm coaching the boys up a little bit. I've got them coached up on the passing tree.
Oh, it's six.
I never let them draw their routes on their hands. They got to give me a number so we know what the. So we're talking the same language. I hope they're learning a lot from their grandpa. We certainly have a wonderful family, and football is just a part of it.
Go Reese! Go Reese! Reese is coming! It's Reese! Reese! Oh.
They always talk about the Cleveland Browns, want to know about the Cleveland Browns, and now they have a chance not only to see their first pro game, but it's going to be with the Browns. There's something unique about Browns fans. It's just in their blood. I wasn't as recognizable out here. Southern California is just Southern California. But boy, if you ever ran into a Browns fan, it was lights out. Real close friends of ours are the Shirks, Jerry Shirk. Browns fans should remember that name. So anytime anything Browns is happening, we're always with the Shirks. I get asked a lot about why the Cardiac Kids were so special. And it's not an easy thing to explain. But the one thing that was so special about our team, I think, was that late in the games, when we absolutely needed to focus and get something done, that's exactly what those guys were doing. I mean, I saw it in the huddle. We could sense it on the sideline. So much of what happens in the last 2 minutes is, you know, they think of all the theatrics and the great plays and great catches and stuff like that. Well, we don't talk about those things in the huddle. What we talk about is just our assignments. You know, let's just do this. All we need is one big play, one or two big plays, and this thing's going to break wide open. And there was absolute focus, and I think there was an absolute belief that we could get it done. I've never been around a team that was like that, that had that mindset, just a certainty and an understanding about what had to be done. We weren't successful all the time, but certainly the fans remember us being successful most of the time.
Clock down to 34 seconds.
Time to get nervous. Sipe throwing to Logan.
I think that there was just a confidence that somebody was going to make a play. Somebody was going to make a play. And there was no doubt in anybody's mind. I think we realized that you have to take chances in those situations. Guys were comfortable doing that. We would practice for it. And we did it. We did it.
Another pressure play for Brian Seiden.
Seiden to throw. To Newsom, man.
Touchdown!
Another cardiac finish.
Oh, boy.
Waiting for that championship. I'm waiting for the championship. I'm waiting until people can stop talking about the Cardiac Kids as much as I love them, you know? Let's have something else to celebrate. I've been blessed in this life. I want people to know, first of all, who my God is, and then hopefully look at my life and say it's a reflection of that relationship. I also hope everybody understands how grateful I am.
Trouble, Dom. Dom, you got trouble. Trouble. Bang. You got to catch that ball.
I'm off.
Well, what do you think, Sarah? Will we ever stop talking about the Cardiac Kids?
Absolutely not. Even when the Browns go to the Super Bowl, we will still be talking about our love for the Cardiac Kids.
Yeah, I agree. Now, Sarah, you and I have had a ton of fun this season hosting the show, but it's not always as perfect and seamless and beautiful and pretty as we are on camera. There are some moments where we kind of get caught not being so amazing. Take a look. Agree, sweetheart?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good morning, Dog Pound. But this one is Nathan. As you can see, we are at the Greater Cleveland Food Bank. Stitches, tooth knocked out, and he still ends up with his third one. So glad to see he's doing so well.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Sarah. The more cheese, the better.
We need the bum.
As always, we'll see you next week, and go Browns! I don't know if that's stupid, but...
I like that.
Okay.
When we come back, you'll see Coach Hugh Jackson in our one-on-one exclusive interview and find out why he is so excited to be in Cleveland.
Very happy to be joined by the new head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson. Hugh, first of all, congratulations and welcome to Cleveland.
Thank you very much. Excited to be here.
What made you choose the Cleveland Browns?
You know, it was a tremendous interview with Jimmy and Dee and Paul and Sashi. We met in Cincinnati. They came back. We met again in Cincinnati. And their vision, the passion, the fans, everything that we talked about the organization and the process that we wanted to go through to get this team back to where we felt that it needed to be, fit me to a T. So I thought it was the right fit for me.
So what do you think about this vision? Because it is interesting with Sashi Brown and Paul DePodesta working for Jimmy Haslam now alongside you to make a winner here.
Absolutely.
And what did you find intriguing about
that? Well, the thing is, I think we want to be on the cutting edge. You know, everybody's talking about analytics, and I've really embraced that being in Cincinnati. There's a part of that that we did this past year. And I think the league is moving to that. There's all kind of different areas that deal in analytics that can help your football team win. And again, you're talking about Sashi and Paul, who's one of the best in the world at it. We're talking about some guys who do it extremely well, that have some ideas. And it's just a piece. Again, I think everybody's got to understand it's just a piece that can help us win. And I think that's the most important part.
You were a head coach before in the National Football League with the Oakland Raiders, brought them to the best record they had seen in quite some time. What did you learn in that season that you're so excited to apply this time around as a head coach?
You know, it's interesting because I don't think anybody's ever ready for that first time. I think when you go through that process, it's tough. You know, it's a grind. So I learned that it is a grind. It's a marathon, and you have to work through it, and you have to be supported by great people, and that's what's here. And that's what I've learned over the course of this interview. That's what I learned on the course of walking in here in this building for the first time. What a tremendous welcoming committee that I walked into.
That's great.
There's nothing like that.
When you go from that being the head coach, then you come back in the league, you're in Cincinnati. What did you learn in that time frame working with Marvin Lewis, who I know you hold in very high regard, to become a head coach that you wanted to apply?
You know, just watching him daily, you know, my first experience coming back is I worked on defense, which really helped prepare me to be a better offensive coach. You know, I was with Mike Zimmer, who's now the head coach at Minnesota. He taught me so many different things on how to really understand defense. And then every day watching Marvin, you know, kind of sitting at his knee and observing him deal with the team, deal with adversity, how to handle the good times and the bad times, but really stay consistent and really build a consistent winner.
So you've coached for the Bengals. Mm-hmm. You have been the quarterback's coach in Baltimore with Joe Flacco. You have game planned to successfully defeat the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know this division as well as anybody out there. Do you think that that's a big asset and something that you're excited to stay in this division that you know so well?
There's no question. I mean, I don't have to start over that way. I know exactly what these teams are and how they're built, exactly what they're trying to accomplish week in and week out within this division. And I think that is an advantage to us. But at the same time, we got to become the best that we can become in order to compete on that level.
All right, so everybody I've talked to, I've talked to some players of yours, Chad Johnson, we talked to him. We heard what Andrew Whitworth, the captain of the Bengals, had to say about you. Leader of men, you demand leadership of all of your players, and I've heard that you're great at reaching your players. How would you describe your leadership style?
Well, I think the first thing that I'm truly about is holding people accountable. And I think there's accountability towards each other. You know, it's got to be from players to coaches and from coaches to players. And then we have to chase perfection in everything we do. I think we have a process that we work through. There is a plan in place, and then we work our plan. And we understand it takes a lot of hard work to get there. And my job is to get us there. And at the end of the day, that takes a lot of grit and grind to push guys through, but it's a fun time too, because I think that's what all great players want. They want to have an opportunity to be successful and have a chance to win.
When you look at this roster, who are some of the players that you're excited to get an opportunity to work with?
Oh, give me Joe Thomas today. You know, I think he's a tremendous football player. Joe Hayden, you know, Paul Kruger, who I've been around before in Baltimore. There's some young runners back there in Duke Johnson, Isaiah Crowell. Mm-hmm. Again, you look at outside, there's just so many good young players in this organization and some older ones too that I think are starving for an opportunity to have success. And that's why I'm here. I'm here to help these guys be all they can be.
And you're also a tremendous offensive strategist, one of the things that has helped you get to this spot. How would you describe your offensive approach? Is it a system? Is there the Hugh Jackson system? Or do you like to tailor it to your guys' strengths?
It's about the players. It's not about Hugh. It's about the players. We do what we feel our players do best. And we try to take those abilities and showcase them. And if we have to throw it 100 times, we'll throw it. If we need to run it, we'll run it. I think everybody knows I kind of like to run the ball.
You do?
Because I think that's the physical nature of this division. You know, you have to be able to run the ball. So I need to back up and say, we're going to run the ball. But at the same time, I want to make sure that we tailor what we do to what our players can do.
When you look at this team, quarterback, obviously, a big kind of question and open-ended thing. One name that always comes up, Johnny Manziel. Mm-hmm. There have been reports out there that you don't want Johnny Manziel here. What do you say to that?
Well, because I don't know where those reports came from, first and foremost. But I think what I'm going to do is evaluate every player on this team. And when I walked in this building, for the most part, everybody started with a clean slate. And I need to find out exactly who they are and what they are and how do they fit us moving forward. And I think that's what the most important thing is.
You did talk about earlier, you know, about the fans here.
Oh, my gosh.
Rabid.
The dog pound?
The dog
pound. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I want to jump in myself.
What is it like to play to coach now for a team with a passionate fan base like the dog pound?
I want to give them exactly what they're looking for. They want a product that they can be very proud of, that they can come and scream and yell for, that they look forward to coming every week to watch these guys compete and play and give the effort that it takes to win. There's no other passionate fans than the fans here in this city. And I understand that, and I respect that totally. And my job is to make sure we create something exciting for them to see.
Welcome to Cleveland, and certainly looking forward to see what you do here as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
Thank you very much.
Dog Pound, thank you so much for joining us this season on Inside the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, Sarah and I have enjoyed every Sunday morning spending it with you. But don't worry, we'll be back in April. And until then, as always, go Browns!